Welcome to Basic Gospel Radio, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, here to welcome you to our weekly teaching edition as we study through the pages of the New Covenant Journey Study Guide. If you don't yet have your copy, just go online to basicgospel.net/teaching. Again, that's basicgospel.net/teaching. And a reminder for those of you who had planned to call today, the phone lines are not open today so that everyone can listen and benefit from this study. So with that, it's Basic Gospel's Friday Teaching Edition, everybody. And now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks. We are starting chapter 2 today.
Chapter 2.
And we have just been having a ball working through this just the first 2 weeks.
Yes.
And I know that's going to continue. I mean, when you... if somebody asks us what we like to talk about, this new covenant
this is it.
Yeah. We like to talk about the resurrection. We like to talk about Jesus, and we like to talk about how those things spell themselves out within the framework of this new covenant that we now live in as believers in Christ Jesus. And that's what we established in the first two lessons, the fact that there was an old covenant,
yes,
and that covenant was between God and the people of Israel. It was mediated by angels and Moses. It took place at Mount Sinai.
Yes.
And it was to carry the people of Israel forward until. And there was an until.
Yes.
And that until was when Jesus was to come. And he fulfilled that old covenant through his death, burial, and resurrection. He put an end to the old. And God set it aside as a result because it was obsolete. And Jesus ushered in a brand new covenant. And so all of that changed at the cross. That is the place of change. And now as believers in Christ today, we live in the new covenant.
Yes.
And that is so vitally important for us to understand. It just will solve a lot of confusion in the Christian life if we will just embrace the fact that we are new covenant believers. And so today we want to start chapter 2, and we're going to take a deep dive into the four promises of the new covenant. And there are four promises, and we talked about those last week as well. The first promise talks about the fact that this new covenant is spirit-led. It's something that happens from within by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. The second provision deals with assurance, the fact that we truly are the people of God. The third deals with the relationship, the fact that that curtain was torn from top to bottom, and now we have access into the very presence of God so that we can know him and grow in our knowledge of him. And then the fourth one is on forgiveness, the fact that Jesus' sacrifice took away our sins once and for all. That's just good news in and of itself.
Yes.
But that's not the entirety of the new covenant. There are four promises. And so we're going to look at three of those four today, and we're going to pick up on the fourth next week.
As long as this half hour lasts an hour and a half, we'll be fine.
We can do that.
Yes.
That's exactly right. So we're going to be starting on page 14 in our study guide. So if you have your study guide, you can turn to page 14. That's where we'll begin today. If you do not have your study guide, we encourage you to go to our website, basicgospel.net/teaching. basicgospel.net/teaching. All the information about this teaching series is on that page. As a matter of fact, not only are we broadcasting this over the radio airwaves and online at oneplace.com and various places on the internet, we're also streaming it live by video. So
yes,
if you would like to see what's happening, go to basicgospel.net/teaching. There is a link right there. You can join us for that live video feed as well as the audio feed.
Yes.
So we're excited about that.
And you'll discover why we normally just do radio.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, promise number one is simply this, and this is out of Hebrews 8:10. And Hebrews chapter 8 is the retelling of the new covenant as Jeremiah the prophet wrote it some, I think, 500-600 years before the actual event of this new covenant. So promise number one, Hebrews 8:10, is this: I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts.
Yes.
And so we've said that's spirit-led. It's something that happens from within.
Yes.
And that's in contrast to the old covenant, isn't it? In the sense that those commandments were written on tablets of stone.
Yes.
So it was external. And they looked at those laws, and they were to live up to those laws. And so they had to apply human effort. They had to apply obedience. They had to apply all of those things to live up to those statutes and commandments. But here in the new covenant, we are led internally by the Spirit of God. And that's what this first promise is all about, the fact that God is writing or putting his laws in our minds and writing them on our hearts.
Yes.
So I was fascinated by these two words, Richard, as far as the verbs of this particular promise. God is going to put and God is going to write these laws in our hearts. Well, this word put, it's a very interesting Greek word. It means to give of one's accord and with good will. So God is doing something out of his accord and for a good purpose, for good will.
Yes.
It also means to put into the hands the power of possession of anyone. So he's saying these aren't just things that have to do with God. He is allowing us to take possession of these very laws and to use them for our benefit.
Yes.
That's powerful.
It is.
And he's putting those in our minds, placing them right there. Mm-hmm. The second word is to write. He's going to write these things on our hearts. Well, that word means to make a mark upon or to impress deeply. So it's not just writing words on a page, although we can see that word being used for that. Mm-hmm. But in this context, it conveys a much deeper meaning, that God is putting them in our hearts in such a way that they become an actual part of who we are.
Yes. You think more of old style writing, cuneiform, for example, when they would actually carve it into something. Here, he's placing it into our hearts in the same way, so it becomes permanent.
Right, right. So when I was a kid growing up, we had to do everything with number two pencil. Mm-hmm. So if we made a mistake,
yes,
we could just
erase.
That's right. Just take it right off the page. But with this kind of writing, once it's on the page, it doesn't. You can't remove it.
No.
It's just there. And that's what God is saying, is these are permanent.
Yes.
When he writes on our hearts, it's a permanent, with a permanent marker. There's no way to erase them mm-hmm. out of our hearts and minds. And boy, that's good news, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. So that's what God has done in this new covenant. And within this verse 2, it talks about God's action. He's going to place or put and write. Mm-hmm. And then he has specific locations, mind, heart.
Yes.
So he's going to write some stuff in your minds and write some stuff on your heart. Well, the mind is, our thoughts, our intellect. It's more than just this brain up here, that he is putting something that's becoming the fabric of the things that we think.
Yes.
And then the heart, I love this word, cardio. Mm-hmm. We know of that from the medical field.
Yes.
But it had meaning as far as everyday life was concerned. And this word cardo means the center. It means the center of a person's life. And so what God is saying is that in this new covenant, that he was going to become the center of our lives, mm-hmm. that everything that we do and think and experience is going to be shaped by the very presence of God living in us. I think that's just a powerful image of getting that God has taken up residence inside of us, and now he is at the command center, that everything that we are, all that we do, all that we think, all that we experience is now being shaped by his very presence, his love, his grace, his mercy. So that's why this is such a powerful promise for us. Now, as we look down halfway onto our first page, we come across a passage there, 2 Corinthians 3:7-8. And here Paul is comparing and contrasting the old with the new.
Yes.
And he says this, "Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious?" So that old covenant came with glory.
Yes.
And we saw that as far as the face of Moses was concerned. But the key information that we want from this particular passage here is the fact that those laws, those Ten Commandments, were engraved in letters on stone. So we see a vast contrast between the old
yes.
and the new, external, internal, human effort, spirit led. Those two things just right there are enough.
Yes.
But there's more to the story than just that. So those old commandments were written on tablets of stone. And we see a couple of places, 2 Corinthians 3:7 here, Exodus 24:12. We see the actual verse where it talks about that God gave the tablets of stone
yes.
To Moses. But it's kind of interesting when you compare the two, you see that God is the author of both.
Yes.
Wonderful passage in Exodus 32:16. The tablets were the work of God. The writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. So what was given to Moses was the work of God. It was the words of God. It was the writing of
yes.
God given to the people of Israel. It just so happened that that work, that writing, was on tablets. Now this writing, this work, these words of God are written on the tablets of our human hearts. That's just absolutely amazing. But we have to ask the question, what are the laws that God is writing on our hearts? And before we get to that question, let's just take a little break. This is Basic Gospel here with Richard Pfeiffer, Bob Christopher. We are going through Chapter 2 of the New Covenant Journey, a Bible study series that we produced a number of years ago. And all the information on how you can get a copy of it is available at basicgospel.net/teaching. So go to that page. If you don't have a study guide, order yours and join in. We also have teaching notes. You and I are working off some notes every
yes.
time that we're together. We have uploaded those teaching notes so you can download them and follow along with us. So right now we're on the middle of page 14, actually at the bottom of page 14 and going into 15, and we're asking the question, if God's written laws on our minds and in our hearts, what are those laws? Is he rewriting the Ten Commandments? Is he just taking those off of those tablets of stone and putting those things on our very hearts? Or are there other laws that he is referring to here, Richard?
Well, it has to be other laws because those Ten Commandments were external. How do you translate something external to something internal, especially when it's God himself who is internal to us? So it has to be the characteristics of God rather than a request on his behalf for what we should be doing. So I think what he has done is to translate his very love into our hearts, and then our response to that is faith. And it gives us hope. And so we have faith, hope, and love. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 13. These are the laws. These are God himself writing himself on our hearts so that we can respond appropriately for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, and I think one of the great passages, and we have that listed, is 1 John 3:23.
Yes.
And this is his command, or we're talking about a law, to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. So when we think of this new covenant, we need to think in terms of what John is writing
yes.
right here in this particular command, the fact that we believe in the name of his son, the name of Jesus, and the fact that we love one another as he commanded us. Those are the laws that he is writing on our hearts to make real in our experience. In 1 Corinthians, you mentioned that, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love.
Yes.
So that's what God is writing on our hearts. We didn't need those Ten Commandments written on our hearts. We already know that. We already have a conscience toward those very mm-hmm. things as far as right and wrong is concerned. But that's for all people, in all places, at all times. Paul wrote about that in Romans chapter 2. When he says, you Jews were given the laws, but the Gentiles, they have them kind of within. They know that what's right, and they know what's wrong. So yes. God in this new covenant is just upping the ante, so to speak. Mm-hmm. He's just giving us a whole new way of living, not one that's just based on rules and regulations, but one that flows from a heart of belief in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And that's how he gets these laws really into our hearts and minds, isn't it? The fact that he has made us as new creatures in Christ.
Yes. I mean, when you think about it, what did we lose in Adam? We lost our spiritual lives. We became completely incomplete, you know, perfectly incomplete, and God needed to restore that. So when we're saved, the Spirit takes up residence in our lives. Molds itself, binds itself to our spirits, and now we're alive. That's a completely new thing compared to what we were when we were just born normally.
Yes, indeed.
It's radically new. And so what does that mean? Well, it means now we have the mind of Christ. I mean, Christ puts himself in us as the Spirit, bound to our spirits, and then that's his mind, and he teaches us how to think, how to reason, how to choose, how to consider the things of God in a way that we never could before.
Yeah, and that's just amazing. I mean, as you yeah. sit there and describe it, my mind is just like turning. It's like, oh my gosh, we have the very mind of Christ.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that every thought we think is Jesus's thoughts.
No.
It's the fact that God's mind is alive in us mm-hmm. and starts to shape our very thinking, our human thinking.
Yes.
And we need a lot of help there. I mean,
yeah.
we need a whole bunch of help as far as our thinking is concerned. The stuff that goes through my mind on a given day, mm-hmm. And some of the things that you've shared with me about what goes on through your mind.
You promised never to say anything about that.
It's just amazing.
Yes.
But now we have the mind of Christ that's going to start reshaping, or as Paul wrote, renewing
yes.
our thinking. And conforming us into the very image of Christ Jesus. So that's what this promise number one is all about. And as we learn to abide in Christ, to walk by faith in him, to be anchored by that hope that we now have in Christ, we will express those two things in love one for another. As Galatians 5:6 reveals, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love.
Yes.
What are the laws? Faith, hope, and love. Those are the three distinguishing marks for every single believer. And why they're the distinguishing marks, it's not because we've produced them. It's because God has marked our lives with those very things. And
yes.
that happens in this new covenant. Now, promise number two is a promise of assurance. As we have dealt with callers, have fielded questions for all these many years through the ministry, mm-hmm. One of the most asked questions relates to assurance. How can I know for sure that I really belong to God, that I am saved, and that I will be with him forever? Well, I think this promise number two just really drives the stake as far as that issue is concerned. Here is just a statement of declaration. Hebrews 8:10, I will be their God, and they will be my people. And if you read it, you will realize there are absolutely no strings attached to that
yes.
promise. In the old covenant, I will be your God if. Mm-hmm. So there were if-then clauses. And that's how you know if something is kind of along the lines of law-based versus grace-based. Mm-hmm. If it's couched in terms of if-then, it's a law-based proposition.
Yes.
If it's simply a declaration, then it's grace-based. Well, here in this second promise, I will be their God and they will be my people. It's a simple declaration, period, end of story. So what does God guarantee us with this promise? That we will be his people. How does this promise speak to the issue of assurance of salvation? It nails it.
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
Absolutely nails it.
Wow.
And once you've been saved, once you've become a new covenant believer, have to ask the question, can you ever go back? Can your status be changed? And once you have been given the label of being one that belongs to Christ, he's never going to remove that label.
No.
He's never going to reverse what he has done to save you. He's never going to rob you of your life and send you back to death. Why? Because he's already taken you out of death into life,
yes.
And he's given us the promise that that is eternal.
Yes.
So we can have assurance of salvation. Now, God has confirmed that, mm-hmm. And he's done so, I think, in an incredibly unique way. And Hebrews 6:17-18 talks about that, and it's confirmed with an oath. Tell us a little bit about what that oath means and who that oath was with and how it relates to us.
In 25 seconds or less. That's where it's running away from us, folks. God made an oath to Abraham. This is the oath that the writer to Hebrews is talking about, that through your seed, the whole world will be blessed. That was his oath. That was the promise. And that promise goes through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, King David, on through Mary and Joseph to Jesus himself. And so that oath has been carried forward. The oath is God's creative word. God spoke and it is. It not might be, kind of, sort of. It is, absolutely is. And so that's the oath that he's talking about. Well, what is the purpose of that oath? What purpose was the oath for? Well, that's to restore everything back together in Christ. And therefore, when we become children of God and we receive Christ in you, the hope of glory, that is our little piece of the puzzle being put into the puzzle in a way that is uniquely godlike and perfect as he creates the rest of this oneness in Christ. I've got some passages for you. I won't read them, but use these passages to follow the oath. Romans 9, 10 through 12, Ephesians 1, 9 through 14, and Colossians 1, 25 through 27. Look those up. Don't be afraid by words like you know, you were forced or this was predestined. You weren't. This is God's plan all along, that he would bring us together in Christ.
Yes, indeed. So we truly are God's people.
Truly.
We truly belong to him, and he truly is our God. Rest in that, folks. Take that in.
Yes.
Soak in it, and come to the grips, or come to the truth that you truly are a child of God, and nothing, no circumstance, nothing that you will ever encounter in life can change that status. That's declared in this new covenant, in this promise number 2. God has doubled it up with assurance,
yes,
as far as himself and the oath that he has made.
Uh-huh.
We can rest. We can go, whew, we belong.
We're
in. Not because of anything that we've done, but because of the work of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's why this whole story of the gospel is a by grace through faith story. God initiates, we respond. Well, folks, we'll be back next Friday to pick up where we left off. That will be in the middle of page 17, promise number 3. They will all know me. And spoiler alert, something I put in my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, the good news just keeps getting better. So
yes,
we'll look forward to that. We thank you for being a part of what God is doing through Basic Gospel. It's because of partners who stand with us prayerfully and financially each month that we are able to bring these programs to you through the airwaves, both through radio, internet, and some of the other media channels that we use. So join with us. Make
yes,
a gift
please.
Today to Basic Gospel. All the information on how to do that is at basicgospel.net. We'll see you Monday.